Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking JLT Week 2. And to help me do that is Statesman. Welcome, Statesman.
G'day, gentlemen. Only 3 weeks to go. I'm looking forward to this last round of JLT once we stop all the changes in the midfield and actually see who's going to play where.
Yeah, the silly old coaches, they like to mix it up in this JLT series, so we don't actually get a proper gauge as to what's going on. And Steve, I believe there was a BNF show that dropped during the week.
Yeah, Jono, we've had a great response last week. The Fantasy Best and Fairest show came out, and we've had a pretty fantastic response to it. Just if you haven't checked it out, go back on iTunes or SoundCloud and make sure you check it out, because we had so many great analysts on with us, and they all gave a wide range of choices as to who they think the Fantasy Best and Fairest is going to be that's going to help you win your draft league. And that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. And a bit of news coming out over the weekend. Old mate Joel Selwood couldn't get away from Geelong fast enough, or was he heading to Geelong fast enough? Kind of losing his license for a month there, and their sponsorship with the TAC could be in a bit of trouble. So
why did TAC continually throw money at football clubs? Like, young men with lots of money, yeah, football club environment. What the hell do they think's going to happen?
That's true. I mean, look at Richmond. They lost there.
Collingwood.
Collingwood.
All I'm going to say about...
Well, they've got 15 teams left. Good luck to them.
All I'm going to say about this is arrest swag could be a thing.
Hey, I was talking to Joel Selwood and my top midfielders. Mm. Bad news coming out of the weekend. Alice Yeoman. Looks like he went off with a knee injury. They didn't think it was too bad, but been confirmed today as an ACL injury. So not good for him, as he had hoped to get more midfield time.
And I put a line through him after the weekend, not realising that he had a serious injury. So I feel a little bit guilty about that, but hope he has a good recovery. But it's going to be interesting repercussions with what happens with the Adelaide list now, whether it's young Riley or it actually a young gentleman that they had on the weekend showed his wear. I think I tagged him as Rory Sloane 2.0.
Is that a young Harrison Wigg?
That's the boy.
The boy. Oh, well, watch this space, I guess. But, yeah, I did the match report on Adelaide, and, man, I was ready to flame Alice Yeoman until I heard that news. In other news today, Dane Beams, a bloke who has hardly played the last couple of years, was named captain of the Brisbane Lions in a hotly contested leadership vote, it was said today.
They didn't want to give it out to four people like they do their best and fairests.
Anyway, everyone can be a co-captain. Why not? And I don't know what you guys think, but I reckon Cunnington's a bit stiff to get 1 week for Duray falling on his knee. What do you guys reckon?
It's Ben Cunnington. I have no thoughts.
No, but as a player, I know he's not fantasy relevant.
I don't know.
It's a bit stiff. Yeah. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do that by following us at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check us out on Facebook, where you just search in The Draft Doctors, or check out the website. Plenty of content dropping there. The rankings are dropping, where you can find us, thedraftdoctors.com.au. But today, we're just going to run through the games that we saw over the weekend, starting it off with Thursday night between St Kilda and Port Adelaide. I'm going to be looking at the Saints. And Steve, fire away with Port Adelaide.
Yeah, Jono, some really interesting things happened in this game from a fantasy perspective. And for mine, none was more interesting than Justin Westhoff. All right, Port.
Wow.
Well, this is terrible. But we saw Port Adelaide, they've got Charlie Dixon in. They brought Brett Eddy in. They're trialing Jackson Trengo forward. Now, if they want to keep rolling these big guys forward, leaves Justin Westhoff up on a wing. That's a position he scored well in fantasy before. We know he had a drop-off this year, but the previous two seasons he's gone 88, 89 in Dream Team.
Yep.
So on the weekend, he was playing more on a wing, matched up on Nick Riewoldt, ironically enough.
That would have been interesting.
And scored 73 Dream Team and 86 Supercoach and 68% game time. Now, to me, that's really good. And Justin Westhoff's a player who, he's a forgotten man.
Certainly
because
is.
He's not one of the top forwards. But this year, where there's not so many forward premiums, we'll say. He's a really interesting guy for me who can slip down the line. We saw him go in as a F3 in our Dream Team mock. He actually went as F10 in our Supercoach mock, so that was a bit high, but really interesting. Could be a good value if he continues in this role. Another guy, Chad Wingard, did play more midfield minutes. My worry with that is sometimes these guys who are super good forward, I remember Michael Walters, one of the best forwards going around, my favourite player to watch in the AFL. And when he went to the midfield initially 2 years ago, he really got lost a bit and didn't pick up any more possessions, and it just didn't help his fantasy scoring. And I just kind of wonder with Chad if the same thing might happen. Like, he's so valuable as a forward.
But they've got a few of those young, not young, but small, crumbing forward types there at Port Adelaide now. So, you know, Impey, Jarman's, Young's. So maybe he can push up in the midfield.
Oh, look, he can, and it's very interesting because he certainly had a bit of a stinker, and we know he can bounce back. He's a quality player. Next guy I want to talk about, the Statesman's favourite, Ollie Wines. Woof, was looking pretty good. So 75 training team, 102 super coach, 20 touches and 10 tackles. From 74% game time. The real worrying part was the kick to handball ratio, 1-4.
Wow.
Okay.
And I think you'll find that's just the preseason scrubby type football that you're actually happening. Watching the game, I'm just looking at, there's just no chance for him to get the outside ball here. It's just scrappy. It's on the ground a fair bit. So that's why those sort of inside on ballers actually get a lot of the handballs. Barlow did exactly the same for Gold Coast.
Yeah, but we know Wines hasn't been a big kick player going, you know, traditionally in the past. It is a bit of his Achilles heel.
Even though he's got his quads disposal. Like a tree trunk.
Yeah, well, maybe that hurts him. But yeah, no, certainly encouraging to see him play really well and laying 10 tackles in a pre-season game, man, that's awesome.
Can you please never mention Achilles and Ollie Wines again?
Achilles and Ollie Wines again.
Again, I don't want even remotely anything to do with injury with my boy Ollie Wines.
Another guy who talk about, Travis Boak, and he's one of those, he's like Mark Murphy in a lot of ways where he's
maligned.
Maligned, yeah, and you expect more. But he looked pretty good, 23 disposals, coming off a really down year. He looms as potential value later in your draft if you've got the interest in picking him, but just seems like the younger guys there have just gone past him and he's just in the backgrounds now, and a lot of questions about Port Adelaide and their leadership.
Well, that first quarter just looked like the Saints put the afterburners on, put the game to bed, and then just trundled along and had a bit of fun.
Boak previously was probably their number one tag target. Who do you think that's going to be 2017?
Robbie Gray.
Interesting, but he certainly had a down year last year. He played a lot of forward. So, okay. Interesting. And yeah, and Patrick Ryder looked a bit rusty. He did some pretty nice things, kicked a really nice goal, bent it around the corner. So he looks good to me. He looks fit. So a lot like the guys who have had the layoff, I'll look for him to just build and build and build, because if they're trialling Trengo forward, then it suggests to me that they're pretty happy for him to pinch hit in the ruck, and we'll never see Matt Lobey again.
We will not.
I hope not.
On that long-term
deal. Hamish Hartlett's a bit of a worry as well. He was playing back again. Don't like it, Jono.
I don't like it at all.
I had big things pegged for Hamish Hartlett, but I'm sliding him down.
Like KK. Get rid of him. All right. I'm going to talk about the Saints players now. I don't know if you've heard of this bloke, but Jack Stephen only played 39% game time for 21 possessions, 5 marks, 4 tackles, which equated to 80 Dream Team points and 59 Super Coach. Now, we had that worry about Jack Stephen. Is he going to bounce back from that year where he was tagged and points dropped? If he's going to play like that, he's bouncing right up in my book. Like, I loved it. He just went full ham, put the game to bed, and went to the bench.
In a no-pressure JLT match.
In a no-pressure JLT. But that disposal efficiency still does worry me, because it's in the about 63%, so still a bit of a worry there for Jack Stephen. But yeah, it's like Steve said, first JLT match, so not too concerned. But one of Statesman's favourites, Jack Billings, did pretty well. 19 possessions, 6 marks, 2 goals from 82% game time, which turned out to be 83 points in both formats. he was playing forward, but he started pushing up, pushed it up into the midfield, spent a bit of time there, which we all thought was going to happen. So we did see that, which is good. If he stays fit, he's going to be a great pickup. His ADP is 115 this year, and in our Listener League draft over the weekend, Steve, he went at pick 90.
No surprises.
No surprises. Speaking of another Stephen, this is Kobe Stevens. Only played the 69% game time, but his scores weren't great, 53 and 51, but I think he was just out there for the trundle and would be much better for it come later on the JLT. Nick Riewoldt was another one, 67% game time, 14 possessions, 6 marks, just playing on the wing.
I was watching Nick Riewoldt, and they were trying to give him the ball, and the disposal to him was so bad. They put him in so many spots where he could have seriously been injured.
Well, he did get injured.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they put the... Well,
he came off.
Yeah, because the disposal was so bad. So Nick Riewoldt's going to be fine. We know he's a star. 6 marks in just over a half of footy, so you can pretty much double that. Another guy that Steve doesn't like is... I know it's a JLT match, but David Armitage played the 74% game time for 109 Supercoach, 186 Dream Team, 23 possessions, 5 tackles, 5 clearances. We know from last year his game time dropped to about that 74%, but if he can produce scores like that, I wouldn't mind getting him late in your draft, and that's great value for me, and his ADP is 128. In 2017.
128? That's still too high for
me. It is too high.
It was really interesting, though, seeing the two Bulls. I assume you've got the other one down on your list. And it seemed like on the outside that's what they recruited, the inside mids, but maybe they just had the guys there all along and they didn't perform. Maybe it's JLT.
Are you talking about Luke Dunstan?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I left him off because I could have talked about every other side.
Well, he played well.
He did play well.
Because I'm not a big fan of him.
I know you're not, but I left him off this because there's just too many Saints players I could have spoken about. One I don't mind for a bit of value that actually could be a great value pick is Dylan Robertson. We know last year he was playing as a tall defender where he's actually a medium defender. With Carlisle there, takes the pressure off. Robertson can roam around free a bit, taking intercept marks, which we know he can do. Scored the 79 Dream Team, 89 Supercoach, and his ADP's at 193, so... You're going to pick him up very late, especially after having a bit of a down year last year. And the last one was Tom Hickey. Shared the ruck combo with Billy Longer. Please, Alan Richardson, just let Hickey ruck on his own. Please. That wraps up for me. Moving on to our next game was between West Coast and Freo, and Statesman's going to have a look at that.
Yeah, absolute classic, this game. Went down to the wire within a minute of the there start. The game was over. Just talking Dream Team points, West Coast Eagles, 17-36 against Fremantle's 881. I cannot remember such a one-sided Dream Team game in my life. I'll have to check the record books. Obviously, it wasn't playing for points. It was very clear one had played a game previous week and the other one's was its first hit out. West Coast Eagles. Now, they've been criticised for being downhill skiers. And so I want to highlight one player, Chris Marston. Gave him a bake last week. Performed really poorly. Was that because his team was under pressure, or was it because the guns were out and the pressure was on him as an individual? Well, all the guns back in this week, and Chris Marston scored 98 at a 62 minutes game time. That is absolutely remarkable. You're talking about 150 points per 100 minutes. That is just off the charts. Gentlemen, your thoughts on Chris Marston?
No, thank you, no way.
No, look, Chris Marston's the sort of guy who, if I'm struggling, say I've gone defender forward heavy in my draft, and I'm looking for a week-to-week plug-in at the back of my midfielders, if they had a match-up, I might consider him. But outside of that, no.
So Marston v. Dunstan.
I'd take Dunstan.
I don't like Luke Dunstan at all. I don't think he'll play. I know they just re-signed him, but I'm not a fan at all.
Big call. Put it in for the You Suck show.
Yes, I think we will. And it's interesting. They're both on the fringe, I think. We've both got stronger midfields. So they're both on the fringe. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go. Continuing on with the game, Mark Lacroix, 124 points off 75 minutes. Luke Shuey, 107 off 76. Now, we've got to take this with a grain of salt. They are downhill skiers. Fremantle weren't giving us much opposition. It was basically a training run, witches hats, and that was very clear with the points. A couple that I was impressed with, Lewis Jetta. Now, he scored well, 89 off 77. But the difference here, he looked fit. He looked energised, and was even sweeping in defence, cleaning up, and it showed a great work rate, which in his heady days at Sydney Swans, he was actually one of those players that was a pretty solid 80 scorer. Now, as a forward this year, if he's going to get the game time like he actually did with all the Jets in JLT, then he's going to be a fairly decent scorer. So it looked quite impressive. Dom Sheed again. We'll keep talking about Lewis Jetta. Your thoughts?
Did he get any sort of midfield time in that match?
Look, he rotated in all three regions. He was up forward in defence and through the midfield. Now, whether it gets the opportunity to do a bit like Kirtley Hampton did, which you'll probably discuss later with Adelaide.
With the name on my list.
Yeah, looking for him to play between the arcs, which I think is a fantastic role. Look, players can get lost in that role, but they can also rack it up if they're smart switched on, and both those players have pace, so it is beneficial for their games. Dom Sheed was the other one that again impressed. Now, I'm not a huge fan of Dom Sheed until Pritis and Mitchell move out of the midfield. I think he's going to be fantastic once they go, because come season proper, I don't see where his role is within that midfield group. And I think between him and Redden, they're fighting for that rotation of an inside midfielder. And I'm unsure where that sits. So I think he ends up being on a flank rather than getting his turn within the guts, which JLT, just because of the warmer weather, you're just rotating more players through. But did score again very well. My concern, so my not-so-good game, was Jack Darling. 27 points at a 70 minutes. Now, this is a boy, I should say, who scored 210 in the under-18 championships going through the junior structure. There's very few players that control football at that level to that extent. So we've been expecting him to break out for probably the last 2 or 3 years. He's shown glimpses, but he just seems to be going downhill over the past 2 seasons. Your thoughts on Jack Darling?
Is that because he might be a bit lost behind JJK at that team?
I was hoping that that would actually help him.
I thought it might have been, but I think because he's used to being the number one guy in a team, having to play second fiddle has hampered him a bit, maybe. Hard to tell.
And he could be one of these players that plays his best footy within the under-18 championships because he had good size and bulk. At that age, he comes to the AFL and everyone's that size and bulk. That could be the case, but certainly I used to draft him quite regularly, but the last 2 years he's really dropped off and not even on the radar, and I'm sure he's just sitting there on the waiver wire with the Listener League right now.
Yeah, I've always used him as a streamer last year to little effect, maybe one or two games and that was it.
Yeah, fair call. Moving on to Fremantle very quickly because there wasn't much positive. Nat Fyfe did look good, 61 points from 73 minutes, just warming up to it, showed a bit of class there. Hayden Crozier, limited time, only 34 minutes, but scored 51 points. Now, we've been sort of balling him as a defender to say, look, there could be a decent scorer underneath, and it looks like it's going to be the case. I talked pre-season about him actually having a role on the forward line. Doesn't look like to be the case. And he could be another that actually gets a bit of that outside mid time, talking the wing. Great leap, good run, and good skills. Everyone else was downhill from there. Hill, another big concern. Brad Hill crossed over, second poor game, 48 points from 70 minutes time. Thinking that he has that forward line, his second half of last season, as soon as he committed that he was departing Hawthorn, had a really good second half of the season. I thought he actually scored really well, but it doesn't look like it at this stage. Michael Johnson, I know it's his first game back from injury, but 26 points from 71 minutes is just unacceptable. Cam McCarthy, 21 points, 66 minutes. And Tom Sheridan, the guy that was going to break out last year, spent time in the midfield. So it was actually part of the midfield rotation. 73 minutes for a massive 16 points.
Great stats right there.
Not pretty, and that is the wrap on Fremantle.
Moving on to our next game was Adelaide and Richmond. I'm going to take a look at Richmond, starting off with Rory Laird.
You're looking at Adelaide, brother.
Did I say Richmond, did I?
Yes, you did.
Okay, Steve's looking at Richmond. I'm looking at Adelaide. Damn, this heat. It's getting to me, Steve. Rory Laird, 82% game time, 117 dream team, 141 super coach, 33 possessions, 3 marks, 6 tackles. We knew this guy was going to be top 5 defender. I can see him just being as a top, possibly top 2, top 3, no worries at all. Running off half back, doing as he pleased. Pluck him in as a D1, no worries right there. The next guy, my boy, Kirtley Hampton. Steve's been bagging me for the last 2 years, but he's finally arrived. 72% game time, 89 dream team, 108 super coach points for Kirtley.
Yeah, he not only scored well, he looked extremely impressive.
Yes.
And that's the important bit. He played like he owned his position. He knows he's in. He knows he's good enough. I'm going to show him my wares. And I think that is absolutely fantastic for him.
He had the hunger for the contest, which was good. He did everything. He had some mid-time, kicked a couple of goals, playing in defence. We knew he was up against Charlie Cameron and Alice Yellman as well for that mid-time that we've been hearing about over the pre-season. Alice Yellman's gone down with that ACL, as we know, and Cameron didn't look too good, so it looks like he might just take a bit more time to get that tank going. Only the 16 possessions for Hampton, so very efficient while using the ball. One of Steve's loves, Matt Crouch, 73% game time, just playing in the guts, just doing what he did best, racking up the stats, 92 supercoach, 86 dream team. Stuff his brother, Matt. This is the Crouch brother you want. Because don't forget, you got Sloan coming back from an eye socket injury, which, from all reports, should be fine. Old man Thompson probably ain't going to play the whole season, and all reports he's spending time down back. So it looks like Matty Crouch and Sloan's going to be leading that midfield by the look of it. Nothing super special for this guy, but Andy Otten, good to see him back after about 3 years out of the game. Returned nicely for 98 supercoach points, 71 dream team from 81% game time. Never been a great averaging player, but could be a good little streamer throughout the year. I was going to flame Alice Yellman, but after that injury...
That'd probably be bad form.
That would be very bad form, so I'm just going to handball that and let it go. But big Sauce Merritt, 46%.
Sauce Merritt? It's all over for you, buddy.
I'm done.
This is our host. Jesus.
Sauce Jacobs, 46% game time for 44 dream team, 28 super coach, 10 possessions, 14 hitouts.
Did you read best pitcher? Yep. By the way, was that you?
Was that La La Land?
Is Warren Beatty a host?
La La Land. That was it, wasn't it? Yeah, hurt his hand up against with O'Reilly there in the comp. Ruck contest, so not too sure how bad Sauce's hand is.
Sauce's back's probably the bigger issue, I think.
There's a back injury. I didn't know about that.
Sauce has got a sore back, apparently. So I'd be monitoring Sauce's dead back.
He kept on reaching for it during the game too.
Yeah.
They even panned to that quite a few times and highlighted it. So there has been a fair bit of talk for a while. I think, Steve, you alluded to that last week. So there is a bit of concern. I have a lot of ruck alerts. They're just popping up everywhere, and he's just added to the list.
Yeah, I would think so. Steve, tell us about the Tigers, mate.
Just quickly, there was a guy I liked, and it was because the Statesman said to get on him for the Rising Star, and Wayne Molero just gone.
Did all right, didn't he?
Gone all right, like that. Love that 34-1 action. But anyway, the Tigers. We've seen really over the preseason, there's been a couple of ways the teams have approached their rotations. And they some teams are going with, we'll sit four on the bench or six on the bench or whatever the hell it is and just do a hockey line change at halftime. So there's a bunch of guys getting 45-50% game time.
Yep.
Not the Tigers this week. It was a really even spread of time on ground. Only one player was over 81% time on ground. So the Dream Team scores weren't super high in this game. One thing that I noticed about the Tigers, man, they moved the ball quick. I know everyone's moving the ball quick in the JLT, but it was really noticeable from Richmond as a team who tends to chip it round. If you're waiting on rucks, Toby Nankervis is starting to firm in as someone you should really be keying in on. There's more and more late round ruck options. We're big fans of the Wits. Value. Wits, but just the value late. I'd be targeting him. Had 85 Dream Team, 89 Supercoach from 72% time on ground. And that's with Ivan Marich in the team. Marich will not be in the team. Yes.
It was 20 points he took off Nankervis. So there's an 100 average for...
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I expect that... who's the guy with the
Hampson.
Wife? Hampson will play. But I think he'll probably spend more time forward. So I think Nankervis is in line for a pretty handy season if you can grab him late. Deion Prestia, I thought he looked really good. 68 Dream Team, 93 Supercoach, 21 touches, 12 contested. Didn't play a heap of game time, but he looked really, really handy going through the midfield when he was in there. Nick Vlosten, a lot have been spoken about him moving into the midfield over the last 5 years. Only been playing for like three. But he was playing forward. He was playing out as a forward, so... He might just be a bit J-Lo in he's doing a lot of things and not doing any of them well.
Yeah.
He did score.
Did he play well?
He didn't play horrible, but, I mean, 71 Dream Team, 64 Supercoach. He just seems to be the odd man out. Like, I'd be using him as a defender, but that's me. Might not help his scoring, but anyway, they tried him forward. Josh Caddy did play through the midfield, 77 Dream Team, 89 Supercoach. 67% time on ground. He did spend some time forward as well, which we would be expecting.
You would think.
So I think in this forward line, he should be fine. I don't know if he's a forward one, but he's probably going to be in that mix of being a top 10 forward. Or if he's not, then he'll probably be just outside it.
Yep.
So he certainly did himself no harm. And Anthony Miles, something of a guy forgotten, but I thought he played pretty well. The scores weren't huge, but... 50 Dream Team and 83 Supercoach are only 62% time on ground. I mean, I just don't know if you're going to be able to use him. I mean, he's a one-trick pony, whereas the other guy, you know, you see with modern football, they're looking for the guys who can go forward, who can go back, who can do different things. And I don't think that's in his repertoire,
no,
to be honest. So he might just be one of those guys, kind of like your Ben Cunnington, who, if they play, they might not be scoring massive fantasy points because they just don't have other tricks to their game and they're not elite at what they do anyway.
No, that's right.
So that's what I saw from Richmond.
If you'd like to subscribe to the show, you can do that by checking us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you do follow us on iTunes, please leave a review and do subscribe. We really appreciate it. Any reviews you do drop, we are quite happy to read them out. On the show. Moving on to the next game, we've got Melbourne taking on Carlton, and get on board the hype train for this guy. We've spoken about him before. He delivered. Christian Petracca.
I thought you were about to say Jesse.
He's on the list. 19 possessions, 6 marks, 4 goals from young Christian there. 96 Dream Team, 136 Supercoach from just 69% game time. Absolutely fantastic. We knew the guy can play. Was on full display on Saturday. He's shooting up the draft boards. His ADP is 180. Can you believe that?
Who?
Petrakas.
No, that's stupid. What the hell's going on?
Yeah. So shooting up the board there. He's playing mid, forward, everywhere. Lock him in early. He's great. Jack Viney, co-captain. 102 Supercoach, 98 Dream Team from 73% game time. Played in the guts with spells in the forward lines while giving some of the other guys a bit of a go. Just the 19 possessions, 6 marks and 4 tackles for young Jack to go with 2 goals, 3. while Jack Viney was in the forward line, this guy was in the guts, and that's Clayton Oliver. 71% game time, 103 Supercoach, 58 Dream Team. Played in the midfield with 19 possessions, 11 of those contested. So he's ADP. Yes, Dave?
Do you think he can get DPP? Because I saw him pushing forward and delivering a lot of balls inside 50.
Well, I think in his rookie year, or his first year, he was DDP and then lost it. So, if he can get DPP, that'd be great, especially Statesman, who loves these sorts of guys for keeper leagues.
Absolutely do, of course.
Now I will talk about Steve's favourite Melbourne player, Jesse Hogan. Without Jack Watts in this team, this guy's the number one forward, and he's kicked 7 goals now in just the 2 JLT games, 73% game time for 127 Supercoach, 87 Dream Teams, 15 possessions, 3 goals, 6 marks. He's the number one forward at Melbourne now. Forget Jack Watts. He's going to be traded at the end of the year. So you, I don't know if you saw this, Steve, but he actually pushed up into the midfield and had a... You did see?
He got the first clearance of the game.
Well, there you go. You did see. And that's a scary thought if he's playing, pushing up in the guts. So if you could take someone, who would you take, Stringer or Hogan? I know I'll be taking Hogan.
I'll
right
take
now.
Hulk Hogan at this point. He's just blackballed.
And Christian Salem. I know it's JLT, but he's starting to put a couple of games together. If he stays fit, he's going to be... He could be quite a handy scorer, and you're going to get a lot of value out of, from him. 98 Supercoach, 92 Dream Team, 71% game time, floating around that half-back line, pushed forward too for a couple of goals. Going to get him later in your draft, and if he's doing those sorts of scores, you're going to be very happy with him.
Yeah, so there was another team in this match. Carlton really looked pretty ordinary. Obviously, is another one of those first-up matches, first-up teams versus a team who's really... second match, and they looked like they really wanted to win it. They've obviously got missed next week and then travelling interstate in the last week. So this was their big, I would say this is their big hit out, and they really put Carlton to the sword. But there were some bright spots for Carlton. Mostly from a fantasy perspective, I'd say the former Matty Cruiser. I thought he played pretty well. There wasn't a lot between in the hit outs between Cruiser and Gawn and Jake Spencer. But with Andrew Phillips gone down, and now Dan Gorringe has gone down, this is Cruiser. I mean, this is Cruiser's ruck role. I mean, there's no one else.
Nope.
So he should score pretty well for mine if you're waiting on your rucks. I know it's not a sexy name, but I certainly like it. And he scored 87 Dream Team, 79 Supercoach, and 78% time on ground. So I certainly like that. It's a contract year for Matty Cruiser as well, and you've got to think this is his last big contract.
Yeah.
So... I certainly got some interest there. Kate Simpson and Doherty, both about 68 Dream Team and 95 Supercoach. Very high time on ground. But Carlton looked to get the ball in their hands quite a lot. Interestingly enough, the kick ratios were down. The marks were down. So it really hurt their Dream Team scoring. I'm just wondering if there's an evolving game style there. Because Carlton looked to use the ball by hand. Was it a matter of pressure, or is this... We're seeing a shifting philosophy in Bolton's second season where they're trying to use the hands out of defence a bit more. But certainly Melbourne's pressure was fantastic.
Mm.
So I guess we'll just wait and see over the next couple of JLT matches for Carlton. Yes, mate?
If they're not having the lead-up options, then it's possible that they're using the hands because they've got no one to kick to. And it certainly felt like they were constantly under pressure. So maybe they're trying to... get the relief just by using the hand. So I think it's more of that than a changing game style.
Yeah, well, it was very noticeable, I'll put it that way. So we'll look and see. Melbourne was certainly set up pretty well behind the ball. Matt Wright did nothing wrong. Just sort of a guy who played pretty well last year, scored well for the guy for the fantasy drafters who took a punt on him. And he really did nothing wrong. But he's sort of a forgotten man in the... Jack Billing, you know, there's so many bigger names who should push past him, but he's got a role in this team.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Bryce Gibbs, you're just a superstar. Everyone hates him, but you're a superstar. 96 Dream Team, 99 Supercoach. A lot of handballs again, but he's just fantastic.
Is that just a byproduct of Cripps not being there? Of
him? No, Bryce Gibbs is a good player.
Cripps.
What about... Yeah, I'm saying Bryce Gibbs is...
Yeah, is that why he's handballing? Because he's taken the number one?
They were all handballing. They're all just under massive pressure.
Oh, fair enough.
Except for Levi, you'd wish he was handballing.
I have no comment for that.
He actually looked all right. Hey, that's actually a point you didn't bring up. Jesse Hogan's got rid of the stupid run-up.
That's true. I forgot all
that. He was looking better, man. And so was Levi when he was kicking the ball. Looked a bit better.
Yeah, well, he's got no contest in that forward. I mean, Liam Jones ain't going to take his spot.
I'm just saying the run-ups and the kick.
Do you reckon Carlton should have drafted Johnny Butch?
No, because they've got McKay and Charlie Curnow down there who both look quite promising, especially... Well, I mean, Charlie Curnow's obviously in his second season, so...
Yeah.
But that's their forward line of the future.
But the world... The AFL needs Johnny Butch.
The world does need Johnny Butch. someone should have got Johnny Butch.
Someone should have. It's not going to cost you anything. To talk about our next game between the Gold Coast and the Bombers is Statesman. Fire away, mate.
Yeah, the highest scorer for the Gold Coast was Sexton, 110 off 75 minutes. But at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to get the same opportunities in season proper. A little bit better than last week was Michael Barlow. Same issue as Ollie Wines. His kick-to-handball ratio was really poor, especially in the first half. What did concern me in the first half, there was no marks and there was no tackles. But he certainly did get the ball rolling in the second half in that space, 104 off 74 minutes. Interesting to see their last game, to see really where the midfield roles are when a couple of players come back. Brad Farini was actually quite good, and we know this man is going to be a fantasy star of the future, 78 off 57. Will Brody, a rookie, was exceptional, 77 off 79 minutes. And the bottom line was he actually played extremely well and actually got himself on the scoreboard. Tuke was not too bad again. Jack Martin was impressive, 71 off his 69. A little bit concerning was Dave Swallow's game, limited time again, but didn't really put the score on the board. And his points per minute certainly did drop away, and he just didn't have that energy he seemed to play in his first game. So I want to see him play a full game to see what he looks like, but certainly be dropping down the draft board with me at this stage. And maybe, as they always say, you come back from a long injury. The first game seems to be quite easy. The second one's much harder. You're just starting to get the sore body and all that type of stuff and being able to deal with that. So like to see how he works through that. KK, the only comment I've got is, oh no.
Your boy.
Wow. Maybe he's not what I thought he was going to be, but the end of the day, this is JLT. I'm hoping he's just cruising by at the moment, but 35 off 83 minutes, Jono. It was ugly.
Didn't we have a comment on Twitter about KK, Steve, about the probiotic?
He's not getting enough probiotic yogurt.
Yeah.
He's got to switch to Yogo, man. The Yogo Gorilla.
Yogo Gorilla with a bit of the choc chip nuts in there.
Boom.
Bang.
Away one of those
go.
Before the game, you'd be right. Gone by half time.
And what surprised me on the weekend, he looked like a new recruit. He's very, very slim. So maybe the probiotics are cleaning out the system a little bit too much.
Shane Warne's mum's diuretics.
Oh. Yeah, so it's an interesting one. I'm sort of sitting there waiting, but look, he's dropping. I've been hot on him for a long time, thinking this was the season to come back. The good players in the midfield will be there. They'll free him up on the wing, and look, you're finding him in the forward line. So he's got room to move. He's got space to work with, but they're not looking for him, which they probably did previously. So maybe so many gun midfielders that they've actually got in there now that are actually playing, they're looking for those players instead. So it's a wait and see. The other one, although to be granted, first game was 2 metre Peter. 20 points out of his 86 minutes. But not as bad as the key forward for Essendon. Joe Danaher, great man, wrote an article about him the other week. He was one of the three I wrote an article about in the Essendon, which is up on the web page at the moment. But Joe Danaher had 71 minutes playing time for a total AFL fantasy score of -1.
Great return. How's that work out in your points per minute, or score per minute?
The next question.
That's a good one. I like that.
Has there ever been a player in discussion for a salary cap season that has ended up being in the minus? Like, if you trade him in, you make money?
Oh, I would not have a clue.
That's an interesting point.
Yeah.
there must be a minimum cap. But
well, someone did start at the basement price and go down 1 year. I do remember that. I can't remember who it was. It was a Collingwood player, though.
I'm sure that's not what we're going to see season proper. Joe will come good, but, geez, not a good start. Darcy Parrish.
Liking this guy.
88 from 60 minutes. That's quite incredible. Job Watson, 87 from 73. Again, just looks that refreshed. Looks like a young 25-year-old Job Watson. It's incredible. And last but not least for Essendon is Brent Stanton. Warney's pick for the BNF and a very good call for the majority of leagues out there. Pick him early, but if you're playing Steve rule is let's not have any other confusion throughout the year in case someone gets a positional change. He's not so important in the listener league. But it was a good score and he's looking like that he's going to have that defensive role. So DPP coming for him, 79 points off 85 minutes. So quite impressive by Stanton.
Love it. Love the stance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're playing in those fake leagues, then he's probably a great pick. But in the real leagues where men play. No, hey, you know what would be great in those DPP changing leagues? If they had subtractions. Like last year where Dusty and Zach Martin were just playing midfield. Forward status is gone.
Yeah.
I want that. Give me that league.
Give the reverse DPP.
There you go.
That's what we're talking about. The last game we're going to talk about for this week is North and the Hawks. I took the Hawks this week. And Tommy Mitchell running out in his first game for the Hawks. Not too bad, actually. 77% game time, 119 Supercoach, 93 Dream Team. His scores were similar to that when he was playing at the Swans, so that 77% game time is actually less in his last year at the Swans, where he bumped it up to 80. And if you check out the article on the website, I predicted that he should be up to 85%. So those scores are going to go through the roof for Tommy Mitch. Lock him in. Jago O'Meara, he has got us all fooled, this bloke. He's 81% game time for 90 Supercoach points, 76 Dream Team. 22 possessions, 5 marks, 3 tackles.
And the tag went to him.
This guy looks like he hasn't missed a beat.
Is he real?
I don't know. With hair like that, it can't be.
It's good hair.
It is good hair. And the guns. You guy.
Wait for Big Papa Pump Thompson to come back. But...
Well, that'd be a good matchup.
You sure it's not Sam Mitchell with a just mask on?
Nah. Mitchell never had guns that big.
You know what he might have done is he's gone to Roosie's house and collected all his hair clippings.
That could be a point. But this guy's shooting up our draft boards. I'd be quite happy to... his ADP's 105. Can you believe that?
And what's the injury risk with him?
Tendonitis.
Look, if it's the same injury as Adam Cooney, then they do plummet. It does degrade year after year. So we might see a couple of years out of him and then spend the rest of his career roam around the forward line, but he looks good. He looks good. Another guy who looked good was Jack Gunston. 90% game time, 92 Supercoach, 78 Dream Teams.
Gun. Absolute gun. All I could think of every time he got near the footy was, Steve, look at Gunston go.
Like he was playing
if he's playing in the midfield, then fine. But I'll tell you what, the Hawthorn delivery inside 50 wasn't as sharp.
But he was just running around on a wing like a gazelle on the African plains, mate, just doing as he please. Kick 0-3.
No, that's a good return.
Well,
he played well.
He did play well. And another one who played well was old mate, Captain Jared Ruffhead. 85% game time for 95 Supercoach, 78 Dream Team. 23 possessions, 4 marks. Again, Clarko trying things. Do you remember when Ruff was in a defender? Because that's where Ruff was playing a bit. He spent a bit of time in the midfield, forward, and defence. Is it possible for a bloke to get triple position?
No.
No?
They should.
But I'm very high on Ruffy now that he seems fit and firing and, again, hasn't missed a beat. Steve, who have you got there for the ruse?
Sean Higgins isn't just a gun when he's fit. Yep. Did highlight that the ruse needed pace through the midfield, and he is that pace.
Not Sean Attlee.
And looks good. No, not Sean Attlee. Jamie McMillan continues to look good, continues to be the man they want to get the ball in his hands down back, which is good because Marley Williams and Mitchell Hibbard like kicking it to the other team. Interesting. I think the Mason Wood injury is really interesting. I'm starting to believe that Goldie's solo rucking days are coming to a close.
Especially when he copped that knock as well. And
it was just a hand knock. But he looked good.
The reason for the long delay is they actually just couldn't get the finger back in. So right as rain. I think they obviously need to plan for the future. We all know the delistings or the retirements they created at the end of last year. So they've got to start planning for the future, and they've got a couple of questions to ask of what's going to be the full-time option for them later on. And obviously young Braden looks the goods and looks the goods up forward as well. So it's going to be an interesting time for Magic Dora as well. So I think you'll find it'll be a shared role, probably not shared role all year, but I think they're also trying to manage, if we remember Goldie had some struggles last year through the injury, that they've got to start managing their players better. And you've got a young lad that's proven himself already. His form may drop off and they might revamp that, but I've got ruck alerts absolutely everywhere at the moment, and that is a great concern of what's actually going to happen on that rucking line. There's so many that are actually going to be sharing the roles, and he's just added to the list. The only one I can see absolutely clear is our good mate at Collingwood, and Cox getting injured only proves that Grundy's going to have this one out role.
Yeah, so with the Mason Wood injury, I think that there's going to be room. They'll play Ben Brown and Majak in that forward line.
Yep.
So I don't know about Bruce. I mean, he seems like he's better as a ruck than a forward.
Oh, no doubt, but I think this is where Goldie has already proved that he goes up forward, he can have an impact as well. And that's when the decision where Majak's going to have to come in.
So yeah,
one of them ends up being trade bait. The next one's the heir apparent.
Yeah, I like Majak. Majak's pressure around the ball and his burst, I guess you could say.
The X factor.
But Goldie's good forward as well. So I don't know. It's
a good
really
problem to have.
Interesting, and I probably won't end up with a great deal of Todd Goldstein shares.
No, I won't.
Anyway, on to Ben Cunnington. I actually didn't think he played too badly. Took a nice hanger.
He did take a great hanger.
Spent a lot of time in the forward line as well, was what I noticed. Kicked a cool 0-4. So maybe that's not his game, but 12 contested possessions, 8 clearances. Could he get his game time back?
No.
Okay.
Who's taking it?
Okay. Well, I don't know. He might be worth a late flyer, is all I'm saying. Because he looked pretty good. And he looked slim. He looked fit. Mm. He's got a bit to prove, I think, after last year.
Especially when Robbo touted him so well.
Well, yeah. Jack Zeeble, 41 Dream Team, 52 Supercoach. Not a lot of time on ground. But he's just not consistent enough. I mean, he looks good. Obviously, the captain. I'm not a big guy on drafting Jack Zeeble. I think he goes higher than I'm comfortable taking him.
It's better when he was a forward.
Yeah, Trent Dumont. Yes. This is a guy who's probably going to start getting a game. Ben Jacobs, looks like missing 8 weeks.
Re-injuring
the
foot.
Obviously, their number one tagger. So they use Trent in a inside mid tagging role, and he really, you know, that's his go. That's his whole game. So 105 Dream Team and 116 Supercoach in 67% time on ground. So
nice.
11 contested from his 25 disposals. He played pretty well. But again, like I said, Cunnington spent a decent chunk of time forward. Andrew Swallow was just faffing around doing whatever the hell it is. I don't know. But Trent's the future in that inside midfield role. He really needs one of those guys to be out of the team.
Swallow?
I don't think it's inconceivable that Swallow's out. I mean, I guess it is, but anyway, he's got some skills. That's all I'm saying. So keep an eye on that. How does that say? The ruck. Look, Bruce played pretty well, but it's just really going to be interesting to see. Ben Brown obviously didn't play as well. So But North played pretty well as a team, and they're certainly hard at it.
Yeah, no, they're having a crack. And the only one that I probably have confidence of drafting is probably Sean Higgins and McMillan, I'd say, and to an extent, Tarrant.
Well, I mean, I think there's a few guys. I think you can take Jumont late. Whether he does anything with it, that's up to you. You can take – it just depends on range. You can take Zibel, but you'd want it to be late. You could take Cunnington, but you'd want it to be really late.
Yeah.
You could stream Ben Brown.
You can.
So you can take Goldstein, but I think the price is going to be too rich. But, man, he did look good. Like, his ruck work is so good.
Mm.
When he goes forward, he's so good. So I don't know. I've got no problems draft. I hope all the reports come out that he's shared ruck and he's cooked and all this, and he's there in the third round for some reason.
It would be good to get him in the third round.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up for the games for this week. Moving on to some questions. Got one from our first question from the website, from Krampus. He goes, thoughts on Tom Bell? Disappeared off the radar last year. Was a 90-plus player with upside. Sole forward, can he come back?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and we just need to go to, you've got a new coach. He's come from a Hawthorn market. I think we're clearly seeing now he's going with the two rucks, which was the way Hawthorn based themselves, and that's why they targeted Ty Vickery to come in whilst they've got the injured Segler. I'm suggesting that the Hawthorn philosophy is all about skill. And what's the one thing that man we're talking about does really poorly?
Yeah. Disposal efficiency.
So Mitch Robinson and Bell might be in for a tough year.
But they might do one of them get a boost with Christensen going out with that broken collarbone for 6 to 8 weeks.
If you're sitting there as a coach, the long-term future, aren't you better to get that young talent and get them used to the game style? And it's a bit like Colton's forward line. You give the big man, Levi, a couple of chances to show whether his new style, kicking style, is going to work or not. Or do you put your money on Mackay and Kerno and see what they can develop into? The earlier you get games in, the quicker they're actually going to get established.
Yeah, I think he'll play, but he's certainly not got a pretty low floor. And that we know he can go high.
We can. But I'll be interested to watch him on Thursday night against the Bulldogs.
I just don't see him playing 22 games.
No, I wouldn't draft him. I'll put it that way.
Could be a streamer.
But I'd use him. I might look to use him in matchups.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
You got some other questions there, Steve?
Yeah, we had a question from John Hines on the Twitter. Is Tom Mitchell going to be like Homer Simpson at the all-you-can-eat restaurant with the football this season?
Yes. That's all you need to know. He's going to go huge.
Question from Bales on the Twitterverse. This one's probably for Statesman.
Okay.
Are we still on the sinking ship known as Joe Danaher #-1?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very, very good question. Let's see how he goes at the end of JLT. But he certainly was on the upswing last year. So with all the gun midfielders back, much improving side, Joe Danaher should improve again.
I will take him in round 22. I think the negative is good for drafters. It creates better value.
That's where I got him in the listener league at round 26, 27. So.
Exactly. So don't be terrified. The same thoughts. You know,
don't worry about it.
And we did have a question. I can't remember who wrote it in, but it was a very deep league. I think it was 14 teams, 30 players. And they were asking whether to go with Ed Vickers-Willis or Nick Newman.
The type's more on Nick Newman in the your so-called salary cap articles. I haven't seen much of Villa's play.
Vickers-Willis has played okay in the first two JLT, so he's probably more likely to play.
Well, Newman played the first one for Sydney.
Yeah, but there's open spots galore at North Melbourne. I'm just saying. I said Newman. I think Newman will probably score better, but Vickers-Willis might be the guy who actually guaranteed on the park. What do you think?
At the moment, I think the local level or the state league level form says Newman for scoring. The hyphen at the moment is showing more wears at AFL level.
Mm. And we had a shout-out from our mate Scott off Twitter.
Oh yeah, we've got to give our mate Scott a shout-out. How could I forget? Scott's one of our long-time listeners, and he's had stomach surgery recently. So we just want to say, hope you're feeling good. and getting better.
Get well soon.
And he wanted to know a salad recipe from the Statesman.
This is not a work. This is a shoot.
Chef Statesman.
Very, very quickly, an easy one. Grab a salad bowl, a handful of baby spinach, throw some cherry tomatoes in, Tasmanian double brie. It's got to be Tasmanian double brie. cut in nice thin slices, spread that in, a little bit of thinly sliced red onion, yellow capsicum, just to give it a bit of colour, of course. Colour's good for you. Small chopped chili, because I like a bit of spice, but you can leave that out if you don't like the spicy food. Half a grilled salmon fillet, grilled.
Tasmanian, I'm guessing.
Tasmanian salmon, of course. Just roll that over the top with a little bit of lemon juice. Don't worry about all this fancy, creamy stuff. The lemon juice and all that beautiful fresh fruit and veggie will all make it absolutely beautiful. Tuck in and enjoy your night.
We need. The Statesman Cooking Show.
That's it.
He's sucking back a Pinot while he's going.
Video podcast. You get pissed by the end of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, cook one meal, two bottles of Pinot are gone by the end of it.
It'd just be the same bloody thing every week, though. Salmon and salad.
Can I mention the Listener League? And I just want to talk. Part of our tips earlier this year was talking about doing the trading and doing win-win trades, not offering a injured player like, or a suspended player like I got offered Lockie Whitfield for Paddy Dangerfield. And when I said no, they said, but he would look really good in my team. I said, give me something that I'll consider. Well, we've actually already done a trade in the Listener League. Myself and Dr. Beardface have done a trade. Now, I had a strategy going through. I noticed the midfielders were going pretty strong early, so I decided to stack up later in the draft on rucks. So I picked up Mumford, Nankervis, Witts, and Boyd. So I had four ruckmen. At the end of the draft, there was a bit of a weakness at the bottom end of my midfield. I had Chris Marston and or Dunstan, hence asking you gentlemen that wonderful question before, taking up one of my last spots on the midfield, as well as, unfortunately, Ryan Griffin. Now, yes, exactly right. He's going to score 80s, but that's not what I want as a midfielder. My forward line looked good. My defence looked good. Had the spare ruckman. So it gave me the opportunity to offer out one of my ruckmen. And, of course, I chose Mumford, probably the highest and easiest to sell, and the one that's got the proving scoring record. And we've come up with an agreement, and we've signed off on the trade. Effectively, he got Hibbard in defence and Mumford in the ruck for Mitch Duncan and Job Watson. Now, effectively, what we've traded was pick 73 and 96 for pick 75 and 94. It doesn't get much win-win than that. I've got a good structure in my defence. I've still got three ruckmen, and I believe both Nankervis and Witts are going to be the number one ruckman at their clubs. And, of course, now I don't have to worry about Dunstan and Marston and Griffin to actually score points for me in the midfield. I've now got Job Watson and Duncan. And, of course, he shored up a little bit of defence and got himself a ruckman because he was skating on Nichols actually getting selected. So all of a sudden, we've got a win-win trade. He shores up his defence a little bit. I will say I think his defence is still a little bit shaky. He's got himself a number one ruckman, and I've strengthened my midfield. That's a win-win trade, gentlemen.
Absolutely. What a fantastic example for anyone out there thinking about throwing some shady offers. I hate those shady offers.
Very shady, especially, you know, Tom Boyd, he reckons. He picked up Tom Boyd thinking old Tommy Campbell's injured himself.
Yeah, well, we had a bloke in our league last year draft. It was a Bont in round two thinking he was a forward.
That is true. It worked out well towards the end of the year, but he still came second last.
When he was out of the running.
Yeah. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by following us on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, or you can find us on Facebook, search in The Draft Doctors, or check us out on the website, where we are thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.